Radio.
She said, if it's the end of the world, I'll be in the mountains. And I said, she says, then come on up. That's where we'll be. And I said, you know what? If it's the end of the world, I don't know that you're going to have that option. She said, well, I mean, if something big comes down. And I said, let me just tell you, honey. If something big comes down, I'll be at a bar waiting to see what happens. Probably the bamboo.
Have you? There's a movie that's out now with the guy that was... What's his name? Steve Cottrell, I think that's his name. He's in the show The Office. He did The 40-Year-Old Virgin. And the movie is about, it opens with, he's in the car with his wife, and they're listening to the radio, and it says, okay, the asteroid's going to hit us, you know, within, I don't know, like 12 days or whatever. I don't even know what the timeline is. And they're listening to it, and he says that, and then the guy goes, okay, well, you can tune in here to listen to all the end-of-the-world music, and we'll be here until it's all over. And the wife opens the door and takes off running down the street. She leaves him, and then there's this whole thing about, you know, finding someone to spend the end-of-the-world days with or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So he meets up with this crazy little chick that lives in his apartment. But they just go on a quest. He wanted to go find the girl that he was in love with in high school, who had sent him a letter saying that she was in love with him, but he had never gotten it because he got in the wrong mailbox. And so, I mean, part of it's kind of funny, but at the very end of it, he takes her. She's from England, the girl that he's kind of hooked up with, their friend.
Uh-huh.
And he takes her back to where his dad is to fly her to England so she can be with her family because he feels so bad that she hasn't seen him. She came there for some guy, and she wanted to go back home. She never got back home. She couldn't afford it. So he took her, and he left while she slept all the time. She's like, is it narcolepsy?
Uh-huh.
She would just fall asleep and sleep for days. And so when she was sleeping, he put her in the airplane, hooked her in, and the dad was going to fly her off to London, wherever. Well, she woke up somewhere along the way and made the dad bring her back because she was, you know, she wanted to be with this guy at the end. You know, they had become such good friends, and... she was like, you know, I've already talked to them, and I want to be with you. So at the very end of it, they were like, they were at their house, and they were laying in the bed, and they knew time, you know, they could see it, the TV gone off, everything happened. Then all of a sudden, she's crying because she knows it's like the end, but there's nothing you can do. And the end of the movie is him hugging her, and you see this bright flash of light on her face, and that's the end. It's all over. I mean, it's kind of like that movie. Do you remember On the Beach? It was a book that they kind of, along with George Orwell and all those books, they made you read it as a senior in high school in your English lit class.
Uh-huh.
On the Beach is one like that where, I don't know if they had been hit by a nuclear or something and they all were getting sick and so they all had pills to take in case they started to get sick so they could just, you know, they couldn't fix it so that you could just go to sleep. And that's kind of like, and it's one, I think the end of it, and the reason it was called On the Beach, it's because at the very end, the main person in the story was on the beach and just sat there and took his little pills and went to sleep, and that was kind of the end of it. I need to look that book up, but it was very depressing.
Would you want to go to sleep, or would you want to be awake and see what happened?
I wouldn't want to know. We've talked about that. You know, because it's like there's nothing you can do. Why have the stress of people worrying about seeing you or you seeing them? Be where you're going to be.
Because you're all going to be together when it's over anyway.
Exactly. So there's nothing you can do. If they said, you know, this is going to... I just think you're better off not knowing. You know, it's just one of those things where surprise at that point is a good thing. That's my theory. Because can you imagine our family freaking out about, oh, my gosh,
where to go,
all
where
get to together, what
yeah.
to do? And then the extended, like your husband or, you know, oh, my God, then I need to be... My family needs to be here, too. And then their family, if they've got a child that's married, then they want to be with their family, and then it becomes the whole universe. Because everybody's connected somehow.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
So I don't know how you would, you know, how you would do that, because I think about that. And nobody that I know, is selfish enough to just go, it's just me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that's not, if you have children, if you have sisters, if you have a mom, you can't just think that way.
Yeah, I think that what you have to do is you have to know you can't save them.
Right.
And so when they say it's coming, you just let everybody know, hey, I love you. It's been great.
Peace out.
Peace out. I'm going to catch you on the other side. I think that, you know, it's...
There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And I just think that if that's the way it's going to be, then it should just be out. That's what I think. And I think I think that's probably what will happen, because I don't think, no matter how... We get into a philosophy. You know what's funny? Philosophical things. My horoscope said today. I was, you know, I have to read it to you in a second. But.
Yeah, I do want to read the horoscope.
I think that if you, I don't know. I think that whatever God you believe in is not mean. So he wouldn't just go, let me just kill this part of the world and not this part. I'm going to, you know, if you guys are so stupid to take yourselves out, or if there's an asteroid because you've blown up the moon. Then,
well, things are going to happen.
Right.
Things, you know, the Mayan people disappeared.
Age-related.
They just disappeared. Yeah, but they just disappeared.
Yeah, so, I mean, it happens. So if that's the case, then I do believe it will just all happen once, like the dinosaurs. You're all gone. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. And that's what
I think. I think what this is going to be, I think it's a rebuild. It's like people still crying about the real estate market. We needed a correction.
Back it up.
We needed a correction, and now we're gonna get it. And I think it could be the end of life as we know it, and I'm not so sure that's a bad thing.
Well, and I don't know that you know, life, that's a broad term.
Well, I'm talking about
right.
the way we are living our lives.
And that's what everybody says. That's what everybody who reads.
This is my philosophy. Let's keep dancing. This is that. I love that.
You know, the funny thing was, this girl was running around with the record. So she wanted to say this her album her dad had given her.
And when I was 12 years old, my father took me to the circus. The greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants. Dancing bears. And a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads.
I want to fly in pink tights
watching
on ribbons.
Yes.
But but
I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what. But when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to it? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? Is that all there is,
my friend?
Then let's keep dancing.
Nice. See? You know this song? But I like it. I've never heard it. Oh my gosh.
Let's bring out the booze and have a ball.
If that's all there is.
Nice little song.
I don't know. I think it was in a show. But
yeah, it sounds like it's a bet. It was probably a show.
Well, a lot of people have done it. Oh, wait a minute. We have a caller here. I think it's probably.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a sister.
Hello, sister. From the same.
Hello, sister. Let me just say, I've been listening for a few minutes, and this is some deep stuff.
Hey, well, what do you think, Pam?
What do you think? Do you want to know? Do you want to run? What do you want to do?
You know, should I stay or should I go? Or
should I stay or should I go?
I think of your song. I don't know why I came here tonight. Is that how it goes? But I'm stuck in the middle with you.
Yes. Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Always stuck.
I got a feeling that something ain't right.
No.
I'm so scared. I can't fall off the chair.
And I'm wondering
how I get down the stair. Here it comes. Clowning to the left of me. Jokers to the right. Here I am stuck in the middle with you.
Oh, that was
and
good.
I have another one for you, too. I have another one.
Okay. Yes.
Hey, Sarah, Sarah. Hey, Sarah, sick. Hey, Sarah.
Sarah, hey, Sarah.
Yep. Whatever will be, will be. Daddy used to love that.
I know he did.
Yep. He liked Doris Day.
Doris Day. Yeah.
The only part I ever knew of that song was "Hey, Sarah, Sarah. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see." Que sera, sera. What
I
will be
when I remember? What will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be sweet?
Is what you said. What she said to me. Well, you hey, guys are
Sarah,
good.
I'm reading it
wrong. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
And then, when I was a child in school, I asked my teacher, what will I try? Should I paint pictures? Should I sing songs? This was her wise reply.
Que sera, que sera.
And then when I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? We will have rainbows day after day. Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said.
Que sera, sera.
Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? And I tell them tenderly,
que sera, sera.
Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see.
Que sera, sera.
So that's what you're saying, right?
I think I added a little uplift to your conversation.
Think you did, but
I don't think we were being down. We were just saying.
No, we're not. You were just being real.
Yeah, we were being real.
If that's all there is, let's keep on dancing. That's not down.
Don't you agree?
You won't be able to hear the music.
Right, but let me ask you this. Don't you want it to just be like, hello, quick, we're out, rather than having to figure it out? Your blood pressure, you'd stroke out before you figured out what to do.
I mean, I just need to, you know, I just need to.
Lights out.
Hold the switch. Lights out, Vaughn.
Clap on the clapper. That's exactly right.
I think what we need to do is, Marianne was just talking about her horoscope. I haven't read mine this month, and I want to know if you did. But let me say this. You know, I'm a big believer in the Enneagram, and I want you guys to take that test so we know. But I'm a number 5, and I get this daily Enneagram reminder. You think so?
I know so.
Oh.
You're number 1. She's number 2. I'm number 3.
Yeah. Right, Pam? No, I'm number 5. So anyway, yesterday there was something about I should revel, that one of the strengths of the number 5 is non-attachment. Now, non-attachment is not what you might think it is, and, you know, like, I don't get attached to things. But I have a couple of quotes about non-attachment. As spiritual searchers, we need to become freer and freer of the attachment to our own smallness in which we get occupied with me, me, me. Pondering on large ideas or standing in front of things which remind us of a vast scale can free us from acquisitiveness and competitiveness and from our likes and dislikes. I really do. That is one of my traits. And I think when we're talking about this kind of thing, you really have to tap into that non-attachment and say, you know what? Just... It's not all about me. It's about a bigger world, and I'm a part of it. And sometimes you're affected, and sometimes you're not.
Sometimes you're the bug. Sometimes you're the windshield.
And, you know, you think about the people just in the last few years.
Good one.
The tsunami. Were those people prepared? No, they were not. And many, many went on to the next place. Many survived. They have interesting stories about how. And we read that with this horror coupled with, oh, my God, thank God that wasn't us. Because, again, we bring it all back to where we are.
It's the ego.
So it just...
I get it. Okay, I get it.
You know, that's just kind of... At some point, it's going to affect us. And, I mean, this hurricane recently affected a lot more people in this country than are usually affected by that.
Right.
You know, usually having a house in the Outer Banks, you're fully aware of a hurricane coming and what it can mean. And
but
so
in Jersey...
You figured it out. In Jersey, they had no idea this was going to hurt them. So, you know, we're having a lot of changes already. So it might not be anything as significant as a big boom. It just might be all of us starting to... think about how we're all in this together. And Marianne, I think you have a song. Here's your song from yesterday.
Oh, okay, hold on. I have one.
But I think maybe that's what it is. What do you think about that, Pam? Wax philosophical with us for a minute.
I think that's a good point. I think you're right. I do. Well, I mean, we're all in this together. This is true. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just about me or my little deal. Joni said, I hope Joni calls in. She said yesterday, if the world ended, she was going to the mountain, and we should follow her up there. I'm like, well, that depends on how the world ends. If it really is, like, if something really starts coming down, like, you know, the earth is splitting and, you know, meteors are hitting the earth and all that stuff, I'm going to a bar.
When the world
all right,
Pam.
No, I got to wait. Hello, Pam. It's not the one.
That's not the one she wants to play. So that's where I'm going, to a bar, not to Mountain, not to Afton.
I think that's a good plan. I like your plan.
That's what led us to get into this conversation. Did we want to know?
Like
did
your
we not?
Plan.
Yeah. We need to. I'm filling the space because I thought she was ready to start with her song. Right, Pam, you're going to love this.
Can I hear this? Pam, recognize?
Keep listening.
There comes a time.
Here's your man Lionel.
When the world.
You love it.
I love it.
Sing with us, Pam.
There are people dying.
I'm hoarse today.
Isn't that great?
Send them your call.
That's like the best song ever.
Do you love it, Pam?
Do what?
Do you love it?
I love that, and I love that the beginning is always my favorite part. I do love me some Lionel, you know?
I know you do, but Pam, I was watching it yesterday after Marianne posted it on the Facebook, and I was watching the making of, which I want to get that one day and have us look at that again because I love it, but just the video of them singing it, and you just forget who is in it.
I know.
Harry Belafonte, James Ingram, somebody, Kim Carnes.
Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, I was going to say. Yeah. Willie Nelson and Dion.
Yeah, and Diana Ross with no makeup.
And looking absolutely gorgeous. Bob Dylan, of course. And I was telling Marianne, my absolute favorite part of the making of video is when Stevie Wonder is telling a apparently drugged out Bob Dylan.
I can't imagine that.
How to sing like Bob Dylan. Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there is the full of angst boss.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Springsteen.
And what about Cindy?
Cindy Lauper. Hey, I watched that yesterday, and I couldn't believe. I told them I really didn't realize until I watched that video again yesterday how much of my performance routine has been affected by Cyndi Lauper. The voice, the hair sometimes. My favorite dance move, just the bouncing up and down. I was amazed. I like Cyndi, but I didn't realize she had such an impact on my performance.
Who was that guy, the guy in the very beginning of it? James Ingram.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Man, it was awesome.
I know.
It was the best day, I think, in music history. One of the best days.
I said rock history, but then after you watch it a while, you realize, no, it's absolutely, just music
Everybody.
History. And I think in the history of our modern world, because these people came together quickly and did this, no predetermined press, no like, oh, gee, we're gonna get famous for this, we're going to get some kudos. It was just show up, figure out your part, and sing, and it was magical.
And no ego. I mean, if there were, they sure didn't show them.
That's right. I'm sure there might have been a crank here and there, but, you know, because when you get that many people together, but it was the spontaneity of it is, I think, what's so fabulous. They weren't waiting for their press agent to say, let me get some cameras there.
Right. And you can do that.
Showed up.
They made the call. They showed up. Oh, what's his face? Who did I tell you? What's his name? Quincy
all the new friends in.
God.
And is it Michael? And who else wrote that?
Michael and Lionel wrote that. Yeah.
So anyway, Pam, that made us happy yesterday. What you wanted to share something today that's probably totally off subject, and we want to hear it.
It really is, and I've got to do it really quickly, and I'm going to leave you with thinking about it and researching it because my duty is calling me. I'm a coach
in
Reading Olympics.
Okay.
I was at the mall.
Pam is doing the Reading Olympics today, by the way. Just wanted to share that. She's a special person. Go ahead, Pam.
And the body art, okay, the tattoos and all the piercings, and I have issues with all of that. But I saw the cutest little girl, and she had her earlobes were huge. She had this strange thing that looked like a button in her earlobe.
Pam, you've been away too often. We did a whole show on ear stretch.
And the fact that the Buddhas have ears stretched and longer their ears.
I missed that. But the thing is, she was the cutest little girl. I mean, kind of
old.
You know, like 20 maybe. I mean, just cute. I have a hard time telling, you know, because if you as you age, you know,
she was a young girl, and her earlobes were huge. Well, you find a lot of that down in the
Pammy, have you seen any that have let the little discs fall out? Oh, God.
No, I don't want to. This was grossing me out, and I was trying so hard not to stare and so hard not to jerk her up by the collar and say, what are you doing? You think this is cute? You're a cute girl. This is horrible.
Well, and you know, the thing is, there's supposedly, you know, there are tribes that do this. We were reading there are some religious, or I shouldn't say religious, spiritual implications. These people are doing it for cosmetic reasons, I guess. But listen,
cosmetic,
you think tattooers?
Because they hate their mother.
No, I don't hate their mother.
I don't think she comes into play. But you know how tattooers are regretting it, and there's a whole industry, sub-industry, wrapped around removing and covering tattoos, you know, like a new surgical sub-industry that's taking care of that. Well, let me just say, I found an article. Marion and I were talking about this since you've been talking. Earlobe stretchers are having regrets, too.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Plastic surgeon says there's an uptick in young patients wanting to correct their earlobe stretching, and coupled with the inevitable fact that people get older, it possibly signals the death of the once popular body modification trend. The San Francisco Chronicle followed the journey of a reformed earlobe stretcher, Colton Tidwell, who was tired of the looks and judgments his dangling lobes garnered.
So now is he going to just cut them off and have them redone?
I want to know. Tidwell underwent an increasingly popular 30-minute surgery to lop off his sagging lobes.
Yeah,
that's pretty easy, then, if that's all it is. The Chronicle interviewed the famed and fabled Dr. Harish Yalamanchile, a plastic surgeon who has become the go-to ear corrector. Now, did your guidance counselor tell you, Dr. Yalamanchile, that you could become the go-to ear corrector? Pam, what do you think?
I'm astounded.
Okay, well, I have something to throw up. I know you got to hang up.
I'm faceless, and I got to hang up.
Hold on one second. I'm tattooed. Listen, are you listening?
Yes.
Quickly. This morning on the news, there was a report, some guy, I think he's in Florida, but I'm not sure. The police picked him up for child endangerment and all kinds of other things because he decided to put a tattoo of a swastika on the back of his little six-year-old son.
Oh, my God.
The police were called because they got there and they said there was so much blood, it was crazy. But of course, the child's in Child Protective Services now, but they said it was much worse looking than it is. It's a swastika on his back, and it's tattooed.
And that's horrible, but the pain and the suffering that you would put a six-year-old through.
So anyway, he said he just, I don't remember what the guy said his reason for it was. I can't remember, because I was so, like, astounded by the fact that someone would do that. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out at you.
God.
Thank you.
Well, and all I can say is there's some good things that, you know, something their children have missed.
That's right. Thank God. Thank God, Pam, right? Some things they've missed.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Mm-hmm. They were in the middle of it, but they missed it.
Okay, go read your little heart out.
Okay, I'll talk to you later. Love you. See you later.
My God,
Bye-bye.
Okay, let me finish this because you're going to be interesting. You are interesting. You're going to be interested. Dr. Yalamanchile said... He has the sensible, almost parental explanation for the uptick in corrective surgeries, but not before engaging in a little East Village nostalgia. Listen, I get it, Yalamanchile said. I love that name. I used to live in the East Village, and I've seen a lot of people do different things to their bodies, but at some point, people are going to think about how they're perceived when they enter the workforce. Hello? Have you heard that horse get beaten before? They need to know they have an opportunity to change. And this man has taken over that effort and is now the go-to earlobe corrector.
Again, did you wake up one day and think, you know what? I'm going to now, with all my medical degree, be the go-to earlobe corrector?
Probably
got to do it.
I mean, I think it's great that he's taking it on. I wonder what he's charging for it. I wonder if he's doing it as a service. What do you think? Or if he's actually charging. I think Yalamanchile is charging.
He would be charging because he might want to help him out, but he also wants to get paid.
Well, listen, I can tell you how much it costs. Fixing torn earlobes. That's torn, I guess, from earrings. Under local anesthesia, costs about $400 for one earlobe, $650 for two. The sutures are removed 5 to 7 days later, and the scarring is minimal. I'd wait 3 months before piercing the ears again to help lower the infection. Now, I want to know. See, they're not giving me the, for stretched earlobe correction. Gauged, they call it gauged. I should have heard that. I heard it on the bird's nest. When the military recently started awarding large sign-up bonuses to new recruits, we had an increase in patients. This is an interesting little aside. Requesting closure of the large holes left by gauges in the earlobes. The military will not let you in with these in place. Well, good.
I don't think they let you in with tattoos.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's what I heard.
Usually takes about 15 minutes, and it costs around $250 per side. Okay. More complex repairs, if there are large gauge holes, would cost more depending on the complexity, anywhere from $500 to $900 per side. I advise patients to remove the gauge about a month prior to surgical repair to allow the hole to shrink down in size and fit, as this makes the reconstruction simpler. And then here's another procedure that costs approximately $700 to $1,200. Another surgeon. That's just crazy.
And somewhere along the way, somebody, I think it was a girl that might have worked at one of the recording studios, Audio Image, it feels like.
Uh-oh.
She had to go and have her ears sewn back together.
Uh-huh.
Why'd you stay off?
Because I couldn't find the switchboard. I was busy over there leaving. Oh, my God.
Let's see.
Uh-oh.
Oh, the military won't accept. You can't go in if, let's see, yada, yada, yada. Tattoos are now permitted on the hands and back of the neck if they are not extremist, indecent, sexist, or racist, which is modified because they, for a while, didn't let you have them at all.
Now, where can they not be?
Now you can. The Army has never allowed indecent tattoos on any part of the body.
But see, this, I have a question with that. What do they
consider indecent?
And indecent.
I don't know.
That gets into a lot of subjectivity.
Let's see. Size of the tattoo and percentages of a given area that will not exceed 25% of the space between, like, the wrist and the arm, knee and ankle, but it does not allow tattoos on the hands or the neck. But now,
because it's they don't want to see them when you're in uniform.
But, and, yeah, they don't. I guess also want the enemy to see them.
Well.
I'm just saying. I think the enemy has something to do with it. Because you could be a different type of person, and they see like a United States tag on flag on your neck, and they go, oh.
You mean if you're like an undercover or something?
Yeah, he's American.
Yeah.
No,
you wouldn't want to be undercover.
I've been watching this show called Revolution. Uh-huh. It's a new show on TV. It's gone off of the season, but basically it's about the lights going out all over the country. Lights go out. So now we're 15 years later, and people are trying to figure out how to get the lights back on, and the militia has started, and now they're renegade people who've kind of started their own thing, but the guys who are, the militia are really bad people trying to, like, take over the government or whatever, or be the government, and then you've got the other people, like the, I don't know if they call them renegades or what, but they've got, somewhere in their body, they have an American flag tattooed on them, so you know that's who they are, but it's not shown, it's under their clothes, but they're trying to figure out now how to get the lights back on, and the deal is, there's like 10 or 12 people who have a pendant, and if you get them all together, then the lights will come back on. So that's what they're doing. The government did it on purpose. It was a conspiracy, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Did you hang up on me?
Yeah, I did. Okay. But what the funny thing is, I was about to let him know, because he hates it when he's traveling, that he misses the show.
All right, so
1 second. I'm sorry, I'm letting him know that.
Now, I called you yesterday, or today, and told you to remind me to tell you about the lawsuit now.
Something about a lawsuit involving
girls.
Big girls.
Yeah. Well, and they called, you know, what they were called. It was a restaurant, and I want to say California, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's three, let's see. Let me see. It was, they were in a restaurant, and the guy put on their, on the computer when he was, like, taking the order, they were sitting at a table, and to keep track of who they were, he put three fat girls, or fat girls. I'm not sure if he put three or fat girls, but it's three girls.
Were they all fat?
Yeah. They were portly.
They were all big girls.
Yeah, they were
big. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I'm just trying to figure out what this guy did.
And what happened was they were getting ready to pay their bill. One of the girls noticed that that it said three fat girls. And she was very upset, so she called the manager over. It's in California. It's a California restaurant, and it's, I think it was in a casino. But anyway, called him over, and the manager said, well, I'll give you 20% off. I'm like, no. And then he said, we'll give you 50% off. And they said, no. And now, although they are very, very outraged and upset about it, and just so embarrassed, they went on the Facebook and on the Twitter, told everybody, and now they've obtained counsel.
Now,
here the girls are.
They are large girls.
And saying you can do that. He should have just put 3FB, maybe. Some kind of something. But he shouldn't have put that on there for sure, and that he got fired. But
three dark-skinned girls in black. He could have said that.
Or, yeah, three, anything. Three girls at the table, maybe.
I mean, really, how many tables would have had three girls? But anyway, so how did they find this out?
She got the receipt, and the girl said, I got the bill. And I was like, why does this receipt say fat girls? And I can just see one of these girls talking.
Oh, my God. So the fool put it on the receipt.
Right, when he was pulling the order in. And the it says, let's see.
See, that guy should be fired, and he was doing that just to be an ass because he wasn't trying to keep the table straight. He was doing it to be mean to them.
Well,
or you
were
not giving it to him.
And her friends
should be fired.
Her friends refused to believe her, and they were saying, and she goes, I was laughing at her, and she was like, no, I'm serious. I'm like, no, it does say fat girls. Let me see it, the other girl said. So then she said, and the woman confronted their waiter, who denied any involvement. He said the slur was likely injured by Jeff, the server who had taken the order. Which, you know. So the woman demanded to see the manager. He offered 25% off their bill, a move that provoked further outrage. They said he had a smirk on his face like it was funny, but he was trying not to laugh. He was like, well, I can do 50%. And she said, and we were just like, are you serious? And the bar manager at Cameo Club Casino, which owns Chili D's, which is where they went.
Where are they? What city?
California. Somewhere in California. Doesn't say yet. Let's see.
Stockton,
California.
Stockton, California.
But wait, and then she goes, let's see, he was appalled. The guy, the manager of the casino, was appalled by it, and they were fired. And I just want to tell them that we're sincerely sorry for that, and we'll do everything in our power to make sure this never happens again to anyone. Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things where, let me just interject, where somebody up front could have possibly, I'm not saying definitely.
There was another incident early this year. A 24-year-old was described as Lady Chinky Eyes. Not at the same
restaurant. That same guy?
No, different restaurant.
Oh, my God.
I feel like, what do you call the suits that are a group lawsuit? What do you call it?
A class action suit forming.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's a good idea. You
anyway.
Know, but what I was going to say is, if he had come out and said sincerely, even if he's thinking it's funny, you're a business owner. You need to man up and act like this is terrible. We are so sorry. Of course, you are not going to be charged for anything. And here is a $100 gift certificate.
Come back next time.
Come back, and we are sorry. He will be dealt with. They might not have gone. They might have, but they might not have.
Well, they let one of the, I mean, in the radio stations, they go crazy with this, and one of them said, seriously, how fat can they be? They only ate $25 worth of food. Two Sprites, they had two Cokes, two Sprites, and three tri-tips something and fries.
They weren't even alcohol drinkers. Right. What do you think about that, James Henry? Hello.
I think it's terrible, and I couldn't agree with you more. What a horrible, horrible thing.
I think it's terrible too.
Mean men. You know, I just think that was just really mean and hateful. And he did it on purpose. He wasn't doing it to try to figure out who was where. Excuse me. What about a table number?
Now I'm thinking all the time when I go to a restaurant, what are they putting on my thing? Crazy hair girl with the crazy man? I don't know. I mean, what are they putting on there?
I'm pretty sure they put just bitch on mine.
Yeah.
I think they just put blonde bitch.
Huh? I think the manager is equally responsible. I don't think this particular waiter was doing. I bet it was doing other things to other people at other times, including coworkers. He just sounds like a miserable person, and the manager tolerated it.
Exactly.
And all they say is that the Jeff, whose last name they wouldn't give, was suspended. They didn't even say he was fired. But the women say no number of apologies will erase the difficult memory. What will is a lot of cash. And I don't mean to be mean like that, but cash is going to make them feel better and make an example of the restaurant.
It was bad. I think they need to play it up and promote it. But I'm with you. Oh, gee, it was such a horrible memory. We had no idea we were overweight until we read it on a ticket.
Other than that, there was a recent thing at some, like, dolphin place in Florida where the kids could feed the dolphins, and they gave them a little box of fish, and the dolphins would come up and they could hand them food. Well, this one little girl, the dolphin, she turned to tell her dad her box of food was empty, and the dolphin bit her hand. And so she was all upset about it, and the family was upset, but all they said was, we think you need to put a sign up that says, you need to be careful, the dolphin might bite you. You know, they didn't sue them. I'm sure the park thought they were going to get sued, and they're like, no, we just think my daughter's fine. They came over and, you know, dealt with her. But
let me just ask you this. What's the total IQ of that family? 27? That you didn't think that an animal, domestic animals, bite you.
Well, true, but all these kids will end up from the school trip or whatever feeding the dolphins.
Right.
You know, and I guess their whole thing was, well, they didn't, you know, the, and as everybody thinks, dolphins are safe and won't bite you, but.
So are kitty cats. So are puppy dogs.
So are horses.
So are squirrels.
Squirrels. Now, I don't trust a squirrel.
I don't trust a squirrel either because those little bastards have moved into my attic.
I love a squirrel.
I love them. I love watching them, but I don't think you can trust them. I think they've been maligned so often that they have sort of become aggressive.
I think they've taken over the rat.
Yeah, they
personality.
Live.
Personality.
We thought we had them out of the attic, but they're
back. Here's why. They're rats in disguise.
Damon?
Yes.
What do you think about the squirrel?
Tell us. Do you think they're rats in disguise?
I think they've been they've had their way too long. This is the city.
Well, and people say that about city squirrels, that they do definitely try to take over. But I just love them. I love watching them. I want to be one when I come back. But I wouldn't get into your attic and mess with you. I want to live out in the woods.
You know, the thing is, I think I would. I think if I was a city squirrel, I'd get into my attic. It's a nice, cushy place to be. Am I going to go to the slum down the street, or am I going to jump into my nice attic? I think I'm going to get into my attic. When we first found them there several years ago, do you remember those pictures of me crawling through the attic? Because we don't really have an attic. We have a 110-year-old house with a crawl space with ductwork and everything else. And I got up there. I never came face-to-face with the one. Wilson came face-to-face with one last week. But, you know, we tried all these different methods. To begin with, we had a light that would come on a timer sporadically to try to spook them. And, I mean, that was great, but as soon as the light came back, it took about a week for them to figure out that that was just a joke. So then they said, what about playing, you know, a radio, have noise? So I had music coming on at different times. And they actually, I think that brought more in. I think that we liked the same music. So then I started trying to outsmart them. And I thought, okay, they're city squirrels. They live in my neighborhood. This is a fairly liberal neighborhood. I'm going to play Rush Limbaugh. And so I was playing Rush Limbaugh in the... You remember that, sweetie?
Yes.
That's when the rats came in.
That's when the rats moved into the basement. But the funny thing is, they did that work pretty well. It went away for a while.
Schedule.
Oh God, that I can't even if I agreed with his politics, I wouldn't want anybody to know that I was even a subscriber or listener. He is just so horrible. And sometimes I think, is that what, you know, is that his shtick? Have they built, but have they built that? Or is he really, I don't think you could do that unless it was really part of who you are.
Oh, I think it's totally who he is.
I don't think it's his radio person.
But I think that he's
But the world didn't like that for a while. That probably lasted longer than anything, wouldn't you say, Jameis?
What's that?
That Rush Limbaugh probably kept them out longer than anything.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But then I hated it because I thought I might be making his ratings go up. So then, of course, at night, it was fair game again because he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But then we found fox urine, granulated fox urine. It works better than anything.
You found it in the attic. James, I thought you meant you found fox urine in the attic. And I was thinking,
no.
How the heck did the fox get into the attic?
No, we found shake away, which is granulated fox urine. Now, I had bought liquid coyote urine for Daddy before he died to put around his rabbit cages out in the country. And that was nice. But then when I found that smelled pretty bad. You couldn't just go, you know, squirting that around in your attic. And I remember my dear nephew Gary Stewart said, "Rain, I got a question for you. How do city squirrels know what fox urine smells like?"
That is a good question.
I said, "It's instinctual, gee. It's instinctual." And now they have revamped their whole marketing campaign, and they say it works on the best premise, the one that will never grow, that will never fade, instinctual fear. And I wanted to find out and send it to him and see if he remembered it.
Because last night he actually came on Facebook and posted some Bob Marley quote last night. And, of course, everybody was, you know, quoting back to him. But I didn't because I just, you know, I feel like I'm able to speak with him these days.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, he did, and he was saying he remembered, what was it he was saying? Let me see. He was remembering, I'm trying to pull up the quote now, but it was like, "Beginnings are usually scary and endings are usually sad, but it's everything in between that makes it worth living." That's what he said. And, of course, all the comments aren't here. People commented, and he says to Mom, some guy said he missed him, and then he goes, and Debbie said, "Yeah, you need to remember that because make every minute count." And then Mom, of course, commented and or liked it. And he goes, "I shot the sheriff playing in the background." That's one of his friends. But then he goes, "Mom, you played it for me. Nanny, I'm pretty sure you bought me Bob Marley's Legend CD at least 5 times because I played it until it doesn't play anymore. For that and 10 million other things, I love you," is what he said to Mom.
Oh, how nice. Can you give me credit for that? I think I'm the first one who played Bob Marley for him.
You need to write it back on.
Excuse me.
But anyway, the point is that he does, back in the back of his mind, remember a lot of that stuff. He'll throw it at you on occasion. But
wait a minute. Let me ask James a question. James?
Yes. Yes.
Give us a weather report. We're going to start a new...
Where is he?
Yeah. Tell us. Tell us where you are and what's going on.
Phoenix, Arizona.
Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, take another look at the world right now. Around us. Around
Arizona. Something.
Okay, back to the weather report now.
We're going to make a regular feature. You're going to call us every week and tell us what the weather is, where you are.
Yes, it is.
People
talk
about the weather.
Sure. Okay. I'm getting to the weather report here, I think. Okay, it is overcast, misty, humid, and raining.
Wow.
No way. You're making that up.
Yes, I am. It's
always the same in Phoenix.
It's sunny, a little windy, and probably about 65 degrees, scheduled to get up to about 70 today.
That's cold.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they're having cool weather.
Having a cold snap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, misty and cool, and that's my kind of weather. That's Seattle, baby. That's what that is.
No, 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 no.
But typically, what is it, about 110 out there, James?
Well, not at this time of year. It's not quite that hot. I think it's probably, but still in the 90s during the day.
I've been out there in November, and it has been in the 90s. And dry, and those Santa Anas come in there, and you get a migraine.
Love a Santa Ana.
I love the name, but I hate the result. And it's one of my least favorite places in the world. Now, if you get it out of Phoenix and Scottsdale and all that hoity-toity, although it's one of my favorite spas, the Camelback. I love the Camelback Spa. But you get out into Carefree, and you go out and go to some of those ranches. That's fun. That's nice. I like it out there.
I want to go to Arizona.
Let's go. Let's take a trip.
Okay, let's drop.
Seamus, how long are you going to be there? We might meet you.
What's that?
How long are you going to be there? We might come.
I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Oh, darn. Well, we might miss you then.
Yes, you might.
We'll probably fly past you. You're leaving tomorrow morning? No, you're not.
Yes, I'm going to Minneapolis tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's right. Oh, gosh, I wish we were going to be on the air tomorrow because I would like to hear the difference in the weather. When you get to Minneapolis, it's going to be a little bit different. Did you dress accordingly?
Yeah.
Did you pack accordingly?
I do. I do have appropriate clothes.
I went there one time for three hours.
But thank you for worrying about me.
We always worry about you.
Yes,
it just doesn't always come out that way to you, I'm sure. You don't know that. But I'm so glad you called us. Did you have anything else you want to add?
No, not right now. I don't.
Okay, you're going to continue to listen?
I am.
Do you want us to take you off air?
Please.
Okay.
Goodbye, James.
He says I just called to listen.
Stay safe.
Okay, love you, buddy. Marianne.
Yes.
Horoscopes.
Well, let me just ask you this. I know we were talking about it over there. I just got to throw it out there. The gift basket thing. We had this conversation.
Oh, God, I know.
Because I'm going to go and buy one, I think, for someone. Just because I don't want to send off a gift and not have anything in there so that the children are like, well.
So I now know who you're sending it to.
What in my, you know.
Marianne was calling this the gift that says best, I don't give a fruitcake about
you. And it's true.
That's a good idea. Fruitcake might be the thing.
Yeah.
So her thought is somebody goes and they walk into a store and they pick a prepackaged basket, a pre-packed basket, and they send it to you. And it has nothing to do with anything you like, or it doesn't show, gee, I was thinking about you because I picked up these special
coffees
or teas or cups or mugs or anything like that. It's just like, I have a problem with fruit. I'm going to tell you, fruit baskets, I like my fruit, but don't bring me a freaking fruit basket.
You know, the only way these work is in a huge office setting where you want to bring a gift for the whole place.
Oh.
And then you bring the cookie, the big gift. Cause,
and it has some cookies and fruit and whatever.
Well, but that works because there's something for everyone.
I tell
you
what,
I know this person at all.
At all.
At
an
all.
It is an insult to me. I think it's an insult. It's like, I really don't give a damn.
So I intend to reciprocate.
I think that's a great idea.
$10 off coupon.
Let me tell you what else I don't like.
Okay.
I haven't seen, but you know, I don't watch that much TV. Maybe I'm just missing it. I hate those fruit arrangements. I hate them.
You know?
And if I got them, I wouldn't eat it. I would take it directly to Freedom House so the homeless people could enjoy it with my brie.
Well, you know, Kelly got one the year we were at the hospital, a Gary Center one, when we were at the hospital with Wyatt when he had RSV, which was good because we were starving. So that was a nice, we ate it all. And then...
And you know what? That's a smaller situation and it's different. I have sent them to people at the hospital when my friend's daughter was, you know, terribly injured in that jet ski accident.
Right.
They weren't leaving the room.
Right.
And I didn't send it to them as a table arrangement. I sent it to them as something that they could munch on during the day because they weren't leaving, and it would be, if it's there, they'll eat it.
Right.
That's
exactly. And, you know, I think she might have gotten one at some point at home when she, after one of the babies. I don't know. But, you know, and again, nice. Those really don't work for a big office situation because people touch the food.
Oh,
anything in the office is pre-packaged. Gary came home the other day with some, you know, I love puffy peppermint.
Mm-hmm.
Or the round ones Nanny used to love.
Oh, God, peppermint pillows.
Oh,
is that what they call them?
Love them. Anyway, he knows that, so he went by and snagged those out in some little box of pretzels he brought home for us. But the little box, the crazy part is the amount of money
That's what I'm thinking.
Spend on these things. It's like a little box, and it had 6 peppermints in it, individually wrapped. I mean, that's ridiculously expensive, that big old basket, but I'm going to go and purchase a I don't give a fruitcake about you basket and ship it. That's my other thing.
Cool.
Because that's what I have ever gotten when I've ever gotten anything.
I think you should, I wouldn't even get a basket, I'd get a mug. You know, it's pretty.
Right.
A nice mug, something to throw against the wall when you're angry, which is what this person might do with it, and which is having one of her bipolar swings. And, you know, it could be stuffed with some hot chocolate and some peppermint sticks, cinnamon sticks, things that other people in the house may love, the
right,
children might like.
True.
She would enjoy throwing the cup against the wall. And
I've done my duty.
That's right.
They can say, this is for you.
And in reality, you know what you're saying? You are dead to me.
You're dead to me, and...
Oh, did you get the rest of that message?
No.
About my friend John?
Yes. Yeah, that's where you got that from.
He's a New York Italian, and he's the one who says he's hot. You were saying he's cute. I'm like, no, he's hot. Isn't he, James? I know you agree. But he's the one. He's also just a dear, dear person. He would say... This guy accosted us in the elevator one night when we'd been down to City Hall and said that we were doing something and we were trying to promote a gated community in the fan or something. And John said, "My hands are clean."
Good one. Good one.
And so I love that. And he's also the guy that says, "These are not my people. Those are my people. You are not my people. You are not my people." And then the other thing is, he is dead to me. He is dead to me. I love that.
I agree. And as we said, it's the gift that says, I don't give a fruitcake about to you.
Yeah.
Either that or a fruitcake. But I would rather go, the fruitcake is a good option.
It is a good option. I think the fruitcake, because, hey.
You are one. You are what you eat. Let's get all kinds of implications.
You are already one. Maybe this would, it's like
counterbalance.
Two negatives make a positive.
Mm-hmm.
So fruitcake, eat fruitcake. Maybe you'll become something less more than a fruitcake. I like the fruitcake.
I might go fruitcake.
I think you should send a fruitcake. I love that. Don't spend a whole lot for it. Get a cheap fruitcake. You can get them at Big Lots for like $2. Probably. Wrap it up pretty with a bow. I say that's the big
Mary. Fruitcake.
I have to share this, if I might, since we're on this
routine.
In our city, this fine city of Richmond, the capital of the state of Virginia.
Capital of Confederacy.
We are probably destined to be known as the city with the most beautiful lighted tree trunks, because they don't go all the way up the tree, just the trunks. The city who has in their big parade Jerry without Tom. What is that about?
Star. There was a star.
There was a star, but worse than that, the worst of all, a floating fruitcake.
Floating fruitcake.
A fruitcake, and it was so ugly. You had
and
to think,
brown.
What is it? What? And the other thing is, what kind of sick individual designed a fruitcake float? Fruitcake balloon. Has anyone ever been to Macy's? You know what? I forgot to give you the number, but I'm sure you all know. 347-215-6203. If you have some comments about this, but a
need to call and find out what they were thinking.
What they were thinking and why.
And where they got it.
But since I saw that fruitcake and we figured out it was a fruitcake, every Christmas song I hear, or most of them, have the fruitcake implication. And I can't help it. When I hear the music in the background or when I start to sing, I'm singing
Holly Jolly Fruitcake.
The best one is, we need a little fruitcake right this very minute. Carol's at the spinet. Yes, we need a little fruitcake right this very minute. We need a little fruitcake now. And then there is the, just hear that fruitcake singing and ring, 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 ring.
Come on, it's
lovely weather for a fruitcake together with you.
Good one. That's a good one.
Oh, gosh. Well, Dolly over here on our Blog Talk Radio switchboard has said...
Hello, Dolly.
I'm calling her Dolly today. That's
Dolly and Molly.
Oh, that's so funny. You're so witty.
Right there. No, hair. Go to the hair. It's gone. It was a little puffball from description.
Go. God only knows.
Yeah, it's just
so in 22 seconds, no 20, no 19, no 17, we're going to be off air, or we're going to stop streaming live. And so
we're going to probably be off air.
We're going to be off air. We're going to leave
we'll
on
be back time next week, but then the week after that, we're going to have to
we're going
to
do something different. But we'll be back next week. In the meantime, visit us on Facebook.
That's what I'm
BirdsNest Live at Twitter, BirdsNest Live at Facebook, go to our website, birdsnestlive.com, call us,
leave
or
a message.
Email us what? At birdsnestlive.com. And,
Birds out. We'll have some scintillating
conversations.
Next week, grab for
I know it. I'm excited.
I'll let you know if I sent the food cake.
I want to hear about the end.
I've been using that.
Have you? Do you like it?
I don't use it enough.
Play today. Keep it in your car. It definitely fades the spots. We're talking about bio oil here in the back. We'll bring it up next week.
How about a little bottle?
Let's give them something to talk about, baby. Are you sure you want to end this episode?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and listening and getting our numbers up there so high that we just can't freaking believe it. We can't fruitcake believe it.
Fruitcake.
But please do. Send us messages and tell us what you want us to talk about. We love hearing from you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, birds. Gotta fly.